What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings. I got another good one for you today. A few more draft topics I want to get to, and then also a little off-season checklist for the Sacramento Kings that we need to go over. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a nice little agenda for you today. Have an off-season checklist and a little more draft talk as well. One thing I want to get to right off the top. Apparently, I created a minor stir with some of my comments yesterday on Luka Doncic and the Kings, and I mentioned there was a disconnect between the two. I guess the term that got people riled up was disconnect. I don't think there's any problem between the two. I don't think, you know, Luka doesn't want to play for the Kings, or, you know, the Kings don't like his attitude or anything like that. Basically, what I meant was I'm hearing that the Kings are more interested in one of the front court players, the American front court players, than they are in Luka Doncic. And we'll see how their evaluation turns out and other things. But there are potential problems when it comes to drafting a European player, especially at number two. And the Kings have to be careful of that because they're not in a position where if Luka, you know, whether he uses it as leverage or he just wants to stay in Europe. Because as I've mentioned before, like with Bogdan Bogdanovic, there are benefits to him staying in Europe for 3 years. If he stays for 3 years after he gets drafted, he then can negotiate a free agent contract and not a rookie scale contract. Now, being picked at number two, you're coming in, you're making about $7.5 million in year one. So what it really comes down to is you're probably making close to $30 million over your first 4 years. So the difference between what he would get being picked one or two or three or four even, and what he could negotiate in 3 years after leaving the EuroLeague, after deciding to come to the NBA, isn't that much. With Bogey, I think he was picked late 20s, and then he stayed for a couple years and managed to negotiate it. A crazy contract, as good as Bogey is, it was unprecedented for a EuroLeague player in his situation. He negotiated, I think, 3 for 27, $9 million a year, which I've mentioned before. The highest before that was Tibor Pleiss getting 3 years, $11 million. So for Bogey, it made more sense. For Luka, not as much. I know Nikola Mirotic did the same thing and negotiated a solid payday after 3 years waiting after being drafted. It's just something for the Kings that they have to be aware of. If there is any chance that that could happen, you can't use the number two overall pick on them. And just back to what I was saying before, basically what I've heard is that they value some of these bigs over they value Luka Doncic. I hope it's not the case. I hope it's smoke screens and just pre-draft BS. But I don't see how it benefits either side to act like they don't, like they wouldn't want to pick Luka or Luka wouldn't want to play there. Like, I can't figure out a scenario where it's beneficial for them to act like for this to be a smokescreen, basically. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the reports I've heard are wrong and they go with Luka because I think it's one of their biggest needs. I think he's a great playmaker and I would love to see some of the lineups they could put out there with him and his playmaking and see, you know, this young, incredibly fast group in transition. But I just wanted to clear that up because apparently some people got a little worked up over it. And I guess disconnect was the wrong term. But basically what I'm saying is I've heard that the Kings are more interested in, you know, Marvin Bagley. Or if DeAndre Ayton's there, which it doesn't sound like he's going to be. It sounds like he's going to go number one. But if DeAndre Ayton's there, he's probably going to be the pick. And again, hope I'm wrong because I am the biggest Luka Doncic supporter here. I love his game, love what he brings, love how he would fit with the team. It would fill an immediate need because that's one of the things about some of these bigs is and we're going to get to Willie Cauley-Stein a little later as well. Center is not an immediate need for the Kings. As I've mentioned a ton of times before, it's small forward, power forward. And Luka Doncic, even though he'd probably play a point forward type position, it's, you know, somewhat positionless basketball. Bottom line, he can defend threes. Maybe not great, but he's also a rookie. He has the ability to do so. He has the size. So you can definitely play him on the floor with, you know, Bogey and De'Aaron or Buddy or whoever. He would slide into that three spot immediately. Kind of similar to Ben Simmons. But, you know, I don't know. not comparing him to the eventual rookie of the year, which is a whole nother thing. I don't know how you're a rookie in your second year in the NBA, but that's neither here nor there. So I just wanted to clear that up. And hopefully the reports are wrong and it's all BS and he's a Sacramento King for years to come, but we will see. So one of the things I wanted to get to for this Friday podcast is a little Sacramento Kings offseason checklist. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN put something out basically going over what he thinks they should be looking to do in this offseason. Priorities and other things of that nature. And so I'm going to go through that real quick. Again, you can always hit me up at CTH415, whatever you guys want to hear, whether you think I'm right or wrong. You think the Luka stuff is all BS. You believe it. Do you think they should go with a big, or do you think they should go with Luka? Or here's the other one, and I know some fans don't like it, and I would hope that they would get some sort of guarantee, as much as you can get a medical guarantee. But Michael Porter Jr., man, I love his game. The kid is nice. And he's another one who would fit in immediately. You slide in immediately, he fills a need. But again, without the medical, it's just too big of a risk. And that's where they might land on Luka being a big risk, too. Because like I was getting to earlier and kind of got off track, at the number two overall pick, they don't have the luxury of, well, okay, he'll stay there for 3 years, or he's drafting stash, or even if he just says, you know, I'm just not ready to come over, I need 1 year. The Kings can't afford that. They, at the number two overall pick, they need to find someone who can play immediately. So it's not like Philly, you know, picking at 10, where they don't need immediate help. They will gladly find a drafting stash, or Boston, you know, 2 years ago when they got Gershon Yabusele. And I think Ante Zizic. Neither have worked out yet, but they didn't need them to work out immediately. You know, they were fine with them being overseas. Cannot do that with the number two overall pick in the Sacramento Kings position. So that's what I was trying to get to earlier. Anyways, as I keep taking all these left turns, and again, all speculation on my part as far as Luka staying overseas, it is a possibility and it's leverage that he has and could use because he does have it. It wouldn't financially make sense for him to do so, but, you know, we've seen crazier things happen. But the reports of the Kings being interested in one of these bigs over Luka Doncic, those are real. The other stuff is speculation on my part. So I just wanted to make sure I got that out there because it sounds like Kings fans love them some Luka Doncic, and I do too. But anyways, moving on to the off-season checklist that Woj put out for the Kings. And one of the things he mentioned was, being honest with the free agents that you're looking to get, that you're trying to get. And part of what he was talking about was they, you know, they went out and got veteran presence, whatever, however you pluralize that. I'm sure someone will correct me. Someone correct me on Twitter because I said house cleaning and not housekeeping. Thanks. So be honest with the vet you're bringing in. And last year they went and got Zach Randolph, Vince Carter, obviously, and George Hill. And I think the biggest problem was with George Hill. I think he, you know, wanted playing time and thought this was going to a team that would, you know, try and compete. I think Zach Randolph and Vince Carter kind of knew the deal a little more. Maybe they didn't love it. They were less malcontent over it. They, you know, did their job. Basically, where George Hill seemed pretty upset about the fact that he was going to be, you know, riding the bench for $20 million, which, hell, it's good work if you can get it. I'll take it. For real. I'll be the best vet these guys could find. You guys need a fat point guard? That's your boy right here. I'll teach these youngins how to live in the NBA. Pay me $20 million. But anyways, so be honest with the vet you bring in. And I get what they're saying, and it makes sense because there was a rift that happened when you know, they started playing their young, which they should have done, by the way. I'm not against them playing all their rookies and stuff, but they did it very early. They did it, you know, what was it, early February. So, you know, a vet like George Hill is sitting the bench for 3 months, 4 months, or whatever. But Zach, Vince, I think they understood with the money they were getting that that was going to be their role. But I don't think it'll be a problem this year because, as far as I'm concerned, anyone they try and bring in this year is not for that vet role. They're bringing in guys to try and contribute to this team. Young guys, Jeremy Grant, Will Barton, Aaron Gordon. There's my obligatory Aaron Gordon to the Kings mention. Okay? Every show, Aaron Gordon to the Kings. It's happening. But I don't think they're going to be bringing in the vets to try and teach these kids how to play in the NBA. They already have a couple. Like, that was part of the weird thing last year was they already had Anthony Tolliver, who they cut, which I thought, you know, if you want a vet presence, you have one. Costa Kufis, Garrett Temple. They have vets. They don't need any more. Zach Randolph's still there. I didn't think they needed these guys to teach them how to be NBA players last year. But, hey, what do I know? So I don't think that'll be a problem this offseason or this coming season. But just in case, be real with these guys. Let them know that most likely you're going to be riding the bench at a certain point this year because we have, you know, 6 or 7, might be even 10 by the time the season starts, first or second year players who need time. So that's one of them. I'm going to get to more after this. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, do you remember the days you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. That's good, because I usually got a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code NBA. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NBA to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Kings podcast. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I hope you enjoyed that. We are going through an off-season checklist for the Sacramento Kings. And just talked about being honest with the vets you're bringing in. And again, I don't think that's a problem because I don't think they're going to be bringing in vets for the same reason they brought in vets last year. I think the vets they bring in this year are going to be guys that contribute immediately and young vets. As I mentioned, Aaron Gordon, Will Barton, you know, Jabari Parker, Julius Randle, you know, those types of players. Jeremy Grant. Again, I stumbled on his name. I'm going to mess up his name so many times between him and his brother. Another thing he brought up was, and I'm talking about Woj, don't waste draft picks. You think? Nadai. Like, come on, Woj. Who wants to waste draft picks? But I get what he's saying because of their recent lack of success with certain draft picks. It's understandable. But at the same time, the way I interpret it, and I mentioned it earlier, as far as the Luka Doncic stuff goes, and even in the second round, there are certain good European wings out there that they could draft, but would most likely be draft and stash, like Zan and Musa and Rodion Kurucs, and there's a couple others as well. And man, I I'm sure I butchered both their names. But when it comes to the Kings, they need immediate contributions. And when it comes to Luka Doncic, if there is even a hint of him staying overseas, that wouldn't deter me completely, but man, that's a big question mark. And it wouldn't be a waste of it because eventually he'd come over and play, obviously, but you can't wait for eventually if you're the Kings. You need contributors now. And like I said, don't get it twisted. Luka Doncic is my number one. I think he's a perfect fit for the Kings. I would love to see him with the Kings. You would kind of be getting the final touches between him and then another free agent or two of your squad, of your core. So I hope it all works out and it's all just, you know, stupid pre-draft BS. But you can't waste this draft, especially the number two overall. You need a contributor starting next season. So I agree with Woj, obviously. Nadoy, don't waste draft picks. Thanks, Woj. You know what? That's good. That's a good tip for all 30 teams, you guys. So that's the kind of stuff you're getting, not just from Woj, but from me. Don't waste draft picks. And I mean it. Another thing he brought up, which I thought was interesting and could be tough, because of this guy's salary, and again, I'm assuming that he opts in. I'm talking about Iman Shumpert, because why would you leave $11 million on the table when I don't think he's going to be making that anytime soon anywhere else? But he doesn't think Shumpert will be on the team starting next year. He thinks he'll either be traded or they'll stretch his salary. If I'm the Kings, I don't want to stretch any more salary, man. I know you have the room to do it, but let's try and get this salary completely off the table instead of just stretching it so you're only paying part of it every year for the next 3 years or whatever it is. As I talked about before, maybe this Kenneth Faried 14th overall pick for Iman Shumpert thing could work out, because, you know, Shumpert's still playable. He still brings something. Kenneth Faried has been buried on the bench, making, you know, $13, $14 million for the last, you know, 2 years. Shump can at least give you something, especially a team like Denver that doesn't have any defensive wings, really. So that, I just found that interesting, because I think it's going to be tough to move, because Cleveland tried to move him forever, like ever since the second he signed his deal. So, yeah, I don't know. If they can move it, that's awesome, and they absolutely should. And I'm kind of, as you've heard me flip-flop the last couple days, I'm feeling more and more optimistic about getting Kenneth Faried in that 14th overall pick. Like I said, depending on who's there at 14, now I'm just verbal diarrhea. Just everything in my mind is coming out. So we'll see. But if you can move that money, it would be solid, because then it also opens up more cap space for, you know, for Aaron Gordon or Will Barton or Jeremy Grant. Someone said they would rather have Jakar Sampson than Jeremy Grant. I can't argue that. That is, I think it was Stinnett on Twitter. I don't have it up right now, James Stinnett. But I don't know how they feel about Jakar Sampson, honestly. Like, I would watch Jakar and be like, why isn't this guy getting more playing time? And then I'd see him getting lit into by Dave Yeager, and it'd be like, oh, okay, I get it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I still like Jakar. I think he should be on the team, whether they get Grant or whoever. But moving Shumpert's salary, if you can just move it for good without taking anything back, awesome. That creates more space. If you move it for Faried in the draft pick, great. You probably hopefully got Miles Bridges or a player that you're really interested in. So we'll see what happens. But that was just interesting to me, because I feel like Garrett Temple would be easier to move, or Kosta Koufos. Yes, they're only around $8.5 million as far as their salary goes, but I feel like there'd be more of a demand for them over Shumpert. Who knows? If you can move Shumpert's money, that's better. So there's that. And then the last thing he brought up was Willie Cauley-Stein and an extension. No. No thanks. I like Willie. I think he's got a ton of potential. I don't know if he's ever really going to reach it. He's inconsistent. And it's not, this isn't the deadline to do so, especially when you have Harry Giles and potentially another big that you're drafting with the number two overall pick, or maybe another big at 37. I talked about Mo Wagner yesterday, who they could take at 37. Or, like I said, if they get that 14th pick with Kenneth Faried, maybe, you know, Robert Williams is there or someone. Like, there's a chance they could take another big in this draft. And you have Harry Giles. Not sure if I mentioned him already. I'm sure I did. How could we do a Kings podcast without mentioning Harry Giles, guys? So, an extension, not yet. And again, it's not the deadline to do so. You have up until the end of next season, and you know, into free agency. So I wouldn't. He will play for the qualifying offer. I doubt anyone will give him an offer sheet. You know, I'd be surprised if they did. He's fine as far as a center goes in today's NBA. If you can upgrade, cool. But you can also do a lot worse, honestly. So I just wouldn't extend him yet. I just wouldn't do it yet. And maybe they end up doing it next year. Maybe he, you know, in a contract year, really finds some consistency. Or maybe not. Who knows? I do like Willie, though. I think he's a good player. But I just would not be committed to him yet, especially when you have this very optimistic look at next year and all the cap space you'll have. Again, I think we should be realistic with Kings' free agency options. Just because they have the cap space doesn't mean they'll be able to get who they want. But, you know, if everything goes right this year, if they get Luka at 2 and, you know, everything clicks and you have this young core, it could help, obviously, but I just wouldn't be counting on it. But I also wouldn't be tying up money in Willie Cauley-Stein right now, to risk, you know, maybe it working out next summer for a big name free agent. So there's the quick checklist from Woj. Like, the biggest takeaway, you guys, don't waste draft picks. Okay. I know we all think they should waste draft picks, but don't. Thank you, Woj. Come on back. Going to do a quick finals preview, review, whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to wrap this thing up for the weekend. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I am Charles T. Hamilton, finishing up a nice little off-season roundup for the Kings. And just wanted to mention, when it comes to Willie Cauley-Stein and Amon Shumpert, it kind of brings me back to the Cavs right now, because we're doing a little finals review, preview, whatever, as they play game 4 tonight. And why I wouldn't want to lock up Willie Cauley-Stein. And it's different situations and yada, yada, yada. But LeBron James has a history of doing this. And I guess I get it. But at the same time, it's really hamstrung the Cavs. You know, they win a championship, which was awesome, huge. But then they give Amon Shumpert $40 million. They give Tristan Thompson $80 million. They give J.R. Smith $57 million. Like, what are you doing? I know it's LeBron's friends, and they did help you win a ring, but, man, none of them are worth the money they got paid. And now there's complaints about LeBron doesn't have this and he doesn't have that. Well, part of it is because he wanted these guys to get signed. He wanted his friends to be signed. And, I mean, come on. J.R. Smith, 57. Like, these are terrible deals. And, yes, LeBron might be the greatest of all time. And he doesn't have the help he needs, probably. But he also created a lot of these problems by using his influence to get these guys signed. I think J.R. Smith has 3 more years left at like $14 million a year. Tristan Thompson, like 4 more years left at 15 or 16. Like, those deals suck, dude. Those are terrible. And kind of what I'm saying about Willie is, you just can't extend him yet. You just can't. You don't know what the future holds, and you're not at a deadline to have to do it. So, yeah, that was just a minor rant on my part about LeBron and the Cavs and some of the deals that he had them sign after good years. But man, you gotta look to the future. And it's something LeBron's done at every stop. He's kind of depleted them of assets. He did it in Cleveland his first time around, depleted all their assets because they traded all their first-round picks for vets, and then they re-signed these vets to long-term deals, so then when he leaves, they have nothing but, 35-year-olds making $20 million a year who can't play anymore. They've done a better job this time in Cleveland keeping their assets, and they have some young players. Kevin Love is an asset. That number 8 overall pick is an asset. But he did the same thing in Miami. So, yeah. He's an incredible friend for what he's done to get Tristan and JR and Shump a buttload of money, but he's a terrible GM for those also. So anyways, that's my minor rant. Cavs Warriors, game 4 tonight. I'm torn because I think the Warriors come out and win. I think they want the sweep. I think, why mess around? But the problem is they have a history of messing around. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Cavs win. I also wouldn't be surprised if they, lose by 20. We will see what happens. I really don't know. It's a coin flip for tonight because, as we've seen, Warriors are cocky and arrogant, and they like to mess around. So we'll see how serious they take it. We'll see how serious the Cavs take it, too. They might be, 1-2-3 Cancun right now. So we'll see. I'm interested. I hope it's not the last basketball game of the season, but if it is, it's been a pretty awesome season, a pretty enjoyable one for the Kings. I know they didn't have enough wins as some fans would like, but there's definitely positives to take from this year and things to build on moving into next year. So that is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network on what might be the last Locked On Kings of this NBA season. Just to clear that up. We will be back next week, but the season might end today. Thanks, Chuck. Like that needed to be explained. Anyways, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. We have a ton of great stuff planned actually next week. We are getting heavy into the NBA draft. We actually do a Locked On mock draft that will be it'll be the week of the draft. So not next week, but the next. But I know Matt's got a ton planned for you next week. And then the following week, we just have a ton of NBA draft stuff. So stick around. Also, Matt George and I doing a post-draft show on Sports 1140 KHDK, 7 to 10 p.m. on draft day, June 21st. So check that out also. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a good, safe weekend. And come back next week. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.